If it is your first time, we are really excited that you're here with us. We have been in this series all summer long. It's a 16-week series. I think we're in week 13 that we've been calling A New Selfie. And what we've said every single week is that we're all invited to shelf our old self. And wow, that went way further than I wanted it to. Let's go back. There we go. What we've been saying every single Sunday is that we are all invited to shelf our old selves, or you are invited to shelf your old self. And when we talk about that, we don't mean that in a pejorative way in terms of shelving your old self, but we want you to know that every single person is born as an old self. And what we mean by that is all of us are born not knowing Jesus, not loving Jesus, not trusting Jesus, not changing or reorienting all of our decisions around this reality that we know and love the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. And so what we are all invited to do is to shelf our old self, as it were. If you're here and you're not a Christian, man, we're so glad that you're here with us, and we want you to know that you, just like everyone in the room, you are invited to shelf your old self by trusting Jesus. There's no strings attached. You can just trust Jesus. We get that you don't believe all the things we believe. That's fine. We're pumped that you're here, and we want you to know you're invited, just like all of us are invited. Now, where this idea came from is Galatians 2:20. This is from the New Living Translation. And what Paul says here is he says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting." And we've learned over the course of this 13 weeks that we're into this series that this idea of trusting the Son of God is really important to what Paul is saying to these people that are called, that we call the Galatians. And so he says, "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And each week we've kind of pointed out that it's a really interesting thing for Paul to say that he has been crucified with Christ, because he's obviously alive and well as he's writing or probably dictating this letter to this group of churches in this region that we call Galatia, which is in present-day Turkey. And so he says, my old self, it's dead. Even though I'm alive, it's dead. And so one of the things that we've been doing this summer to help us all hopefully remember that we're invited to shelve our old selves, and hopefully as we remember that we're invited to shelf our old selves and become this new self that lives by trusting in the Son of God, that we will be full of joy in Christ. And so because of that, we've had this little game that we've done all summer where we basically have encouraged you through some form of social media that you most prefer to post selfies of yourself and tag us in it and hashtag it A New Selfie and whatever else you want to tag it. And so each week we've had a winner. And again, this week there's a $25 gift card for the winner, because we want you to do this because we want you to be reminded that you are able to trust Jesus Christ and thus become a new self. So this week our winner is Jackie. If we can show the picture, maybe we'll show the picture. We won't show the picture. Let's just pray. Again, let's pray and just call it quits. Oh, and if you have a baby in your selfie, that's like automatic win, right? So this is Jackie. Jackie gets a $25 gift card. Again, if you're wondering, how do I win? How can I game the system to make sure that I get up here? I've said every week, we're just making it up. But honestly, if you have an adorable baby in your selfie, I mean, pretty good chance that you're going to be a winner. And so Jackie gets a $25 gift card to Amazon, because Amazon is awesome. So Jackie, well, if you're here, We'll find you later and give you a $25 gift card. So what we've talked about every single week to help us understand this idea of shelving our old selves. I'm going to be really sad if this doesn't work the entire message. There we go. So what we've said every single week to help us understand this idea of shelving our old self, because I think if you're already a Christian, it can be confusing, because you think to yourself, okay, well, he's saying that I'm invited today to shelf my old self, but I thought that I did that like one time when I first trusted Christ, and then God sends his Holy Spirit into me, I'm forgiven forever and ever, and so that's like a one-time thing that I don't really need to do again. Now, if you're here and you're not Christian, like maybe the Christians of us in the room are thinking, maybe non-Christians need to shelf their old selves because they're not kind of where I am right now. But what he's telling me is that everyone, every single day, is invited to shelve their old selves. And so what do we mean by that? And so we've used this chart to help us understand this idea of shelving our old selves. And so I've encouraged you every single week to ask the question, how do I relate to God? And in particular, how do I relate to God regarding judgment? And how do I relate to God regarding growth? And what we've pointed out every single week is that anyone who is currently an old self, you've never trusted Jesus Christ with your life, where you are choosing to remain when it comes to how you relate to God, in particular regarding judgment, is that God will judge you based on your goodness. If I were to choose to remain as an old self, I would be saying, this is what I want. I want God to judge me based on my goodness. Now, what Paul talks about in Galatians, what Jesus talks about when you read the Gospels, is there's this really beautiful thing that happens when we trust Jesus Christ. We become this new self, as Paul talks about. And what happens when we become a new self and we're asking the question, how do I relate to God regarding judgment? This really beautiful thing happens where instead of God judging me based on my goodness, God actually promises to judge me based on Christ's goodness. And we've said nearly every single week that no matter how good you think you are, you might believe that you're the goodest person who has ever lived, right? You are gooder than all the people in this room. You're gooder than me. You're gooder than him and her and him. Like, you are the goodest person ever. Even if you believe that, it seems like it would be preferable to face the judgment of God, which we all probably agree happens because we all believe, nearly every American believes there's a God. Nearly every American believes there's a heaven. Shockingly, nearly all of us believe we're going there, right? So nearly all of us are in some sort of agreement that there's probably some sort of judgment thing. Maybe it's like really easy, maybe it's really hard, but we all generally agree that that's the way it goes. I want to point out to you that it seems obvious that this is preferable, to have God judge me based on the goodness of his son, Jesus Christ, instead of God judging me based on my goodness, even if I'm really, really good. We talked a few weeks ago about how fancy Bible word, this is called justification. And so if you're here and you have trusted Christ, you have been justified. The Bible, Paul tells us specifically in his letters. And so what that means is you've done this once and for all. You don't need to do this again in terms of this shelving of your old self sort of thing. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, again, we're really glad that you're here. This is what you're invited to. You're invited to basically get the credit for Jesus's goodness when you face this judgment thing that we all probably agree is probably going to happen sometime in our individual futures. Now, the other thing, and this is kind of more for the people who have already trusted Christ, as we think about shelving our old selves, we also need to ask the question, how do I relate to God regarding growth? Because I think that all of you are like me in that you want to be better. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better, I just want to be better. I want to grow. And I think that you want to grow also. And so if, for me at least, if I'm not actively shelving my old self every single day, then what happens for me is my growth ends up being more in this column than here. And so what happens is my growth, this desire to be better, it ends up being empowered by me. It's all on my strength, my energy, my ingenuity, my whatever. It's all empowered by me, and it's focused on me. And I've been trying to point out to you every single Sunday that this is better. Because you want to be better. I want to be better. You want to grow. I want you to grow. I want you to be better, and I think you want me to be better. And we have this beautiful opportunity for those of us who have trusted Christ, or those of us who might trust Christ even today, to have this growth project that we're all on, to be empowered by Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which is better. I mean, he's got more power than you, right? He's got more power than me, and it can be focused on Christ. I've given you a for instance every week about this, you know, how I can sometimes land here. And so yesterday we had the opportunity to be a part of the Knox County Backpack Giveaway. There were hundreds of people just streaming through this room to get backpacks for their elementary age children for the school year. We were so pumped to be a part of that. We had a ton of volunteers. If you were here yesterday, thank you. You did awesome. Like, it was so great, right? And so what can happen for me, and I'm sure that none of the volunteers yesterday struggled with this, but what can happen for me sometimes when I do something like that where I'm helping people is if I'm not careful, I don't have our church be a part of the backpack giveaway because I love Jesus and I love people. I don't get all these volunteers and we come together and we pray for these people. I don't do that because I love God and I love them. I do that because I love me. And at some point in my personal history, I've decided that I'm a good person. And to maintain that belief, I need to do some stuff, right? I can't just go on believing that I'm a good person forever without doing good person things. Like, none of us are that good at lying to ourselves. And so what happens is I think to myself, well, Adam, you're a really good person. And we all know that good people help other people. And so for you to maintain this belief that you're a really good person, maybe you're even gooder than other people, then you probably gotta help like people who don't have as much as you or do good sort of things. And so it could be really easy for me to come into a thing like we did yesterday where we're helping people and it's empowered by me. It's focused on me. It's more about making me feel good. It's more about me feeling like I'm a good person than it is about me knowing that I love God, knowing that God loves people, knowing that God has invited me to love and to serve other people. And I'm sure that none of you struggle with that sort of thing, but I know for me, if I'm not intentionally shelving my old self every single day, then I can spend a lot of my time here. And I don't think it's a stretch to say to you and perhaps even convince you that life here is better than life here. Life in the new self column, which we are all invited to every single day. It's better. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. If you couldn't tell this summer, Galatians is one of my favorite books in all of the Scriptures. And so what we're going to do today as we look in Galatians is we're going to see something we get, something we did, and something we do. And so here in a moment, I'm going to pray for us. But one last thing I need to remind us about is all summer long, we've been talking about this reality that Paul is pressing into the Galatians, that the gospel is simply to trust Jesus. Now, the backstory of the letter to the Galatians that we're going to be in the end of chapter 5 today, if you want to start flipping there or thumbing there, there'll be verses like all over the place if you just want to read them on the screens. We have an app. You can look up verses there. There's Bible verses everywhere. But what we've learned is that the context of this letter is that this group of men that we call the Judaizers had gone up to this region called Galatia, which is in present-day Turkey, and in essence, they had told these non-Jewish Christians that trusting Jesus was good, but it wasn't quite good enough to relate to God rightly. And so they were saying, if you want to be in right relationship with God, you can't just trust Jesus, you also need to become Jewish, which for the men meant circumcision, for everybody meant some sort of ritual bath or baptism, and it also meant agreeing to submit to the yoke of the law. There are 613 rules in the Old Testament, and so these Judaizers were telling these new Christians that they couldn't be right with God just by trusting Jesus. They also had to follow the rules. And so Paul is writing this letter, and he's telling these Galatians over and over and over and over that the gospel, this invitation to be right with God, to be a new self, it's simply trust Jesus. It's not trust Jesus and go to church. It's not trust Jesus and start doing this new behavior. It's not trust Jesus and stop doing this behavior. There's no requirements on top of trust Jesus. And for a lot of you, whether you're already a Christian or you're not yet a Christian, we have to remind ourselves of this reality over and over and over and over. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I think probably part of why that maybe is because you believe, and I'm going to tell you, you're wrong, but you believe that you've got something in you that's so bad that God can't forgive you. And what you're doing is you're putting an "and" at the end of this sentence, and the "and" doesn't belong there. There's no minimum goodness requirement to be forgiven by God, to be in Jesus Christ. It's just trust Jesus. And for those of us who are already Christians, it's so easy for us to slip into this mentality where we think that God loves us more or loves us less based on our performance, and that is not the case. Paul is saying over and over and over and over in this letter that God's love for you, his forgiveness towards you, if you are in Christ, it is total and it is final. You don't have to earn anything. It's not trust Jesus and some other stuff. Start doing or stop doing. It's just trust Jesus. And that's really, really good news. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news. This is good news. And so today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. I'm going to pray and invite God into our time as we open his word together. And so would you please pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning, God, to sing songs that are to you and to sing songs that are about you. God, as we gather together to celebrate your greatness, God, our need, our desire to be in your presence, God, to celebrate what you've done, what you've given to us through your son, Jesus Christ. God, as we open your word today, God, we're so frail. God, we lack so much that we need. And so, Father, we ask that you would be here specially with us by your Holy Spirit, God, that you would help us to hear what your word says to us well, God, that we would be enthused by the great news that we're going to read today. God, we are people who long to be in your presence. God, we're people who need to be changed and need to be in your presence. So, God, as we gather here this morning together, God, I ask that you would help us to experience you both together and individually so that we might come to trust you and love you more, God, that we would end up obeying you more because we love and trust you so, so much. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, if you grew up in church, this is going to be a really familiar passage for you. And so, Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." And so I just want to take a moment and let's talk about what we just read. And so Paul says that there's this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. And it's important for us to notice a couple things about this list of nine things that he gives to us. And the first is the word fruit, it's not plural. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, but rather it's the fruit of the Spirit. And so Paul is choosing his words carefully. He's choosing this metaphor carefully. And so one of the things that we can learn for those of us who have trusted Christ and we're in Christ and we have the Holy Spirit in us because of that reality is that this is what we get. And it's not the fruits of the Spirit where, like, I might get some love and you might get some faithfulness. And, you know, I think a lot of times we think of self-control and love being contrary to one another. Like, there's, like, the self-control group who are, like, they're really disciplined and they've got no love for anyone else. They're like, why aren't you like this? I'm self-disciplined. And, like, that's not how it works. Paul isn't saying that there are these nine fruits of the Spirit and you might get, like, three of them and I might get two of them. That's not how it works. What Paul is saying when he says that there's this thing called the fruit of the Spirit is that anyone who has trusted Christ and thus has received the Holy Spirit in you, like the Holy Spirit is in you if you've trusted Jesus Christ, this is what you get. And I just want to point out to you what God, I think, has been teaching me or reminding me of this week. When I look at this list, what I'm struck by is this is what I want. Like, this is maybe a perfect, exhaustive list of the things that I actually want in my life. I was thinking about this week. I mean, so what do we all want? Well, I think one of the things that we want, which is crazy because the scriptures actually tell us that we get this, what we all want, because life is hard, right? We experience pain, people get sick, people die. A lot of us have been hearing about what's going on in the Middle East, and, like, I mean, children are getting beheaded. Parents are throwing kids off a mountain so they don't have to watch them slowly starve to death or die of dehydration. Like, there's crazy, awful, horrible things happening all over the world. And so we look at that pain over there and we look at the pain that we experience in our own lives, and there's this thing in us sometimes that hopes that the end of the story is so good and gives us this incredible perspective on the pain that we're currently going through, that the goodness of the end makes everything that we're enduring now somehow okay. Like, am I right? Am I the only one in the room that wants the end of the story to be like that? The end is so great that the pain of now ceases to matter. And when you read the end of the scriptures, Revelation 21 talks about how that's exactly what those of us who are in Christ get. We look to be absent in the body is to be with the Lord. So when you die, if you're in Christ, when I die, since I'm in Christ, I go immediately into the presence of God. And someday, the joy of the end is going to be so fantastic and glorious and fulfilling that I will look back at the pain that I experienced and the pain that people in the world experienced, and I'll think, oh, the story ended so well. Yes, was it painful? Was it sad? Yes. But man, the story ended so beautifully. We all want the story to end like that. And for those of us who have trusted Christ and who read the scriptures and see what the scriptures are saying, that's actually what happens, right? Like, that's a big deal. We should maybe celebrate that. But it's not just this future tense, hey, the story ends well someday, but just, you know, gut it out until then. This is our present tense reality for everyone who has trusted Jesus Christ, which is the only requirement to receive the Spirit, which is the only requirement to receive the fruit of the Spirit. And so when I look at this list, I think this is exactly what I want. And I'm just like you. Sometimes I get confused, and what I really think I want is more or better sex or lots and lots of money or, like, my wife to be better. If you're not married yet, you want the boyfriend or the girlfriend or the spouse, or you want kids, or you want more kids or better kids. We think we want these other things, but really, when we're looking at those things, what we really are after is the stuff on this list. I don't really want more and better sex. I want love and joy and peace. That's what I want. I don't really want more money, because I think somehow that if I can access enough money, then really what I'm after is this stuff. And if you've accessed really great sex or really great money or the boyfriend or the girlfriend or whatever those things that you might look at and say, I want that, what you have found is that when you thought you were going to get this stuff, you didn't. You might have gotten it for a little bit, but you didn't land where you were really trying to land. And the beautiful thing for all of us are invited to trust Jesus continually. And when we do, we receive the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, this is our reality, our present tense reality, is to have God through His Holy Spirit just give us as a gift love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are the things that you really want. Those are the things that I really want. And God, He's so good to us. He says, just trust me. And I'm going to give you me in you. And when I live in you, this is what's going to mark your life. This will be your experience, which is what you want. Now, we're in an instant gratification culture. Fruit, if you plant an apple tree today, you don't get apples tomorrow, right? And so sometimes it can seem like this isn't happening in our lives, but we need to remember that Paul chose his metaphor carefully. And so we enter relationship with God through trusting His Son, Jesus. God gives us His Holy Spirit. It takes up residence in us. And slowly, but certainly, this stuff begins to mark our lives. And so what I said about all of that is that we, anyone who has trusted Christ, we have the privilege of increasingly experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. And so if that's true, and it is, and this is what Paul is saying, I think a really obvious question, at least for me, an obvious question that I was asking this week is, okay, well, how do I do that? Right? I mean, how do I access this experience of increasing love, joy, peace, patience, that sort of stuff? And that led me to the question, well, are my choices and actions relevant to this process? I mean, because like an apple tree just bears apples. It doesn't have to do anything. It just, that's what it does. And so I'm thinking about like the sovereignty of God, and He's super powerful and big. And I'm thinking about my freedom and the fact that I get to make choices. And I'm asking, okay, well, to what extent do my choices affect the degree to which I experience this fruit of the Spirit thing that I very, very, very much want? Is it none? Like God is just like uber sovereign and He just does what He does and my actions and my choices are irrelevant? Is it total where I can like insert four prayers a day and make sure I get like an hour of Bible time and kind of like God's the vending machine and God is like, He's like just a machine and I like force Him to like give me love and joy and peace and patience because I figured out the secret sauce and I like do that thing that makes God do that thing. And so I look at both of those and I think, well, it doesn't seem like either of those is right. It doesn't seem like my actions don't matter at all. And it doesn't seem like I can like control God with my behavior, and I think that's, again, where the metaphor is perfect. Apple trees, they just bear apples. Now, if you poison an apple tree, it's not going to bear apples very well, but if you cultivate it, then it will bear increasing fruit. And so as I was asking that question, okay, what do I do? I looked at what Paul said next, and what Paul says next is basically something that we did and something that we do, and I think it's fair to say, okay, well, maybe part of this longing in me to have this mark my life is partly taught on by what Paul says next. And so let's look and see what Paul says next. And so Paul says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus, so anyone who's trusted Christ, anyone who is a Christian, whatever you want to call that, a follower of Jesus, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, past tense, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then in verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so let's talk about those two things that Paul talks about. And so the first is what we did. And so Paul says, anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus, what did we do? Well, we crucified. We have crucified is the way Paul said it. So it's a past tense thing that anyone who has trusted Christ has done. We have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so I was thinking about this as I was studying this week, and I thought to myself, okay, well, Paul is saying, okay, so I know that I trust Jesus, so I belong to Christ. Like, I belong to Christ. If you've trusted Jesus, you belong to Christ. And I'm thinking, okay, so Paul told me, the scriptures tell me that I, at some point in my personal history, I have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I thought to myself, well, when did I do that? And as I was asking the question, when did I do that, the thought occurred to me that sounds like it'd be painful. I mean, whatever crucifying the flesh is, it sounds like it would hurt a lot. And I don't know how you are, but things in my personal history that hurt a lot, I remember those things, right? Like, I remember when I played rugby in college. I showed up late to a game, and it was like a friendly, and somehow in the context of this friendly match on our big May thing, I got to the game late. And so I got on the team with basically all the scrubs who knew nothing about rugby, and they had also recruited like half of our team's football team because it was spring and not fall. And so I'm playing a rugby game, and I'm running, and I'm going to receive a pass, and I receive this pass, and I look, and there's a, he ended up playing NFL Europe as a defensive end. So there's a dude right here who weighs about 305, like 6'3". He's about as fast as me. And so I catch the ball, I look, and I'm just like, oh. And so he proceeded to, I mean, it was the hardest hit I've ever had in my life. So he picks me up, just body slams me. My head, like, I get hit, and then my head hits the ground, and like, I'm tough, right? At least I think I'm tough. And so I pop right back up. I have like little squiggly lines like all over my field of vision. Like, I am dizzy. Like, I know that I'm proud enough that I can't just get out of the play. But I also know if I get hit again right now, like, I could die, right? And so I'm like sort of in the play, but I'm like, I have no intention of hitting anyone until I can at least walk straight, right? And so I'm walking around, and my mom was at the game. She didn't want me to play rugby anymore, but it was so much fun. So that's a memory that I have. Like, I am never going to forget getting rocked by that dude who ended up playing in the NFL. Like, that's a memory that I have, not because it was so much fun, but because it was painful, right? And so as I was asking the question, when did I do this crucifixion of my flesh, I thought, I would probably remember having done that. And so then I thought, okay, well, what did the scriptures tell me about when this thing happened? And for me, and also for you, if you are someone who is in Christ, we did that when we trusted Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I trusted Christ for the first time, it wasn't painful. It certainly wasn't excruciating, which is the word that we get from crucifixion. It wasn't excruciating. And I just thought about that, and I said, man, that's so beautiful. Because, again, Paul is reminding me, and I think he's reminding you, that if you have trusted Christ, it's true that your flesh was crucified, but you didn't have to endure that pain because someone endured it for you. And it reminded me that I worship a God who loved me and the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who was tortured and executed, crucified on a cross for me and for you. And so when I ask the question, when did I do this and why wasn't it painful for me? The answer is, because Jesus suffered for me. And so when I think about my flesh and these desires that I have to make the wrong choices, sometimes I can also be reminded that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, suffered for me. I deserved that pain. You deserved that pain. But God loves you and I so much that he said, I will bear that pain for you. Your flesh needs crucified. That is painful. Let me go ahead and take care of that for you. And so we can read this and we can say, man, this flesh thing that wars with the Holy Spirit in me, whatever the Roman guards did to Jesus, they did that also to my flesh. That's the metaphor for me. My flesh has been crucified, nailed to a cross in a bloody mess. And if you are in Christ, that's true for you. And it's beautiful that you and I don't have to experience the pain of the crucifixion of our flesh because Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, did it for us. So that's what we did. And then Paul, he went on and he said, if we live by the Spirit, then let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love this picture for us because it really, it's two pictures in one. The word that Paul uses here, it's a military term. And so the idea is that we are in a marching line. And so we are just keeping in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is moving us forward. We are in a group together and we are marching forward, keeping in step with the Spirit. And so in some ways, it's a very serious metaphor. But I was thinking about ways that I could somehow illustrate this to you this week because it's also a very beautiful thing to be invited by the living God, to be in step with His Holy Spirit. And so I thought about, well, what are other areas in our lives besides like a marching band or an army marching tour? What are other areas in our lives where there's this idea of keeping in step with someone else? And the picture that came to mind for me is a partner dance, like a waltz. And I started thinking about this picture of God, the Holy Spirit, inviting me and inviting all of us to keep in step with Him. And it's a serious thing, but it's also this compellingly beautiful invitation that each of us receives when we trust Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you've not yet trusted Jesus, I want you to hear, man, you're invited. There's no goodness minimum thing that you have to have before you can trust Jesus. You're just invited to trust Jesus. And it's really, really beautiful. And when those of us who have trusted Jesus, I want you to hear that you're invited to keep in step with the Spirit. And the beautiful thing about the metaphor is, I mean, what do you do when you get out of step in a dance or in a marching line? You just get back in step. And so to give you all a picture of that, here in a moment, we're going to show a video. It's Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers doing a waltz. And so what I hope we do together as we enjoy just watching something beautiful is we'll take it as a reminder that God is inviting us to be in step with Him. And so you can just watch the whole time and enjoy it. It's beautiful. You can pray and ask God, is this really what you're inviting me to? I would just encourage you to enjoy this video and hopefully it helps you and us connect to God. So let's watch this. That's the picture I want us to leave with today. We're all invited to trust Jesus. And that's a beautiful thing. And we're all invited to keep in step with the Spirit. And a lot of us, we spend some time out of step. And the great thing is you can always just get right back into the dance. And I hope, I've been praying for you this week. I've been praying for me this week that I would be captivated by the greatness, by the beauty of what I'm invited to. The story ends exactly like we dream it would. And we have access to exactly what we dream we have access to through the Holy Spirit today. And so as we leave today, my hope and my prayer for us is that we would be a people who would be in step with the Spirit, marching in line, dancing with God in step. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for just the goodness of your promises to us. God, I have been blown away all week. It's almost too good to be true. God, we, those of us who trust Christ, you forgive us. God, you empower us. God, we get you. You live in us by your Holy Spirit, and you bring to bear fruit. God, love and joy and peace. God, all the things that we so desperately seek through other avenues. God, forgive us. God, forgive us for believing that we can get a better version of those things outside of you. God, we think that life is better out of step with you. God, forgive us. And God, thanks for the invitation to be in step with you by your Holy Spirit. God, I ask that you would help each of us in this room, God, first to trust you. And God, as we trust you. God, I ask for us that you would help us to dance with you, to stay in step with you, to enjoy the beauty of a relationship in step with you, God. God, we need so much help to do that well. God, you promised to give us that help. So God, as we stand to sing one more song, God, as we eventually walk out of this room back to our busy lives, full of desires for love and joy and peace, patience, self-control, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Father, I ask that you, just by your grace, would fill our lives fresh with the fruit of your Holy Spirit. And God, that we would see that, we would experience it, and that experience would turn our attention towards you. And God, that we would worship you. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people who are here. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.